Hello, America, and to our friends around the world, welcome. I'm Dave Hodges of the Common Sense Show. We have Doug Thornton with us from the American Vindictus Show. Together, we are the Doug and Dave Intel Report coming to you on my end from the Noble Gold Studios. Don't let them steal your retirement as these banks are failing. Jerome Powell is absolutely committing suicide for this economy right now. It's been all through the news. The worst place you can have your retirement's in the bank. Noble Gold can take it out, back with precious metals. You'll own it. They can't touch it. Do it now before it's too late. Call Noble Gold, 867, excuse me, 877. I'll try this again, 877. I just blanked out the number, Doug. How about that? High stress time here. Let's try another way here as Dave Hodges is being an idiot. DaveHodgesGold.com. Put your email in. I'll send you everything you need, okay? DaveHodgesGold.com. I can't believe it's 877-646-5347. I'm checking into the mental institution after this. We're looking for senile dementia. I don't think I've ever done that before.
It's been a long day.
Oh my, I got a person who coordinates my advertising for me, and she's wonderful. She sent me all these interviews I have lined up in the next 3 days and promotions I've got to do. And Doug, everything in her email text going back about 6 years, all gone. Her contact was out of my phone. I don't think you can do that to yourself. So,
I don't think you can trust the phone anymore. Skynet's
no.
everywhere. It's alive.
It's alive and it wants to kill you. EMF, baby. You got to protect yourself. Okay. So we got that done. Doug has training courses he does. Doug, tell us about that.
So May 2nd to the 4th, we have our Shoot, Move, and Communicate 3-day CQB course that's happening at Teleco Plains, Tennessee. Wonderful area. Really, really pretty area if you want to make it into like a little small vacation. I think it's the bread and butter of what we do. I think it's the direction people who are training with firearms need to start walking towards. Shooting at a paper target and having a really good zero is awesome, but if you don't know how to deal with people and use firearms, you're really behind the curveball. So check out the type of training that we do. You can see it on our YouTube channels for Vindictus Solutions, or you can go to vindictusolutions.com and you can see that. If you got any questions, email us through the website. Thanks.
Absolutely. Well, we're breaking some news. And I still can't believe this. But you know what, Doug? I've done some sidebar checking on what you sent me. What you sent me seems to be solid. And I need to do more work on this. But effectively, what we're going to talk about here, excuse me, in our broadcast is this: Shia and Sunni teaming up against the West. And it's scary how far they're going to carry this. It's scary, scary, scary. And Doug, I am almost speechless at this. I'm just going to flip it over to you and let you run with this. You're the one that discovered this story, so let's go with it.
So I was sent this by one of our lovely intel people, and this reverberates things that we learned a couple of weeks ago before we found out that Trump and Israel were talking about doing a targeted strike on Iran, and shortly thereafter that you had many of the Islamic states like Qatar, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, and a few others who had came out and said that they would not allow the United States to use their countries as a jumping off point or even a refueling point in order to attack Iran. So when I saw that and I'm seeing all this, open source intelligence coming out, and you trust what you're reading to the best of your ability, okay? We can only just repeat what is being said, but once, things start happening and this whole ramp up of, if we don't find a deal, we're going to strike Iran news comes out with Trump. And now we find out Israel says, well, even if Trump doesn't strike them, we'll strike them if they can't, tell Iran to back off. And what Israel wants is Israel wants Iran to completely destroy, not turn down, not, take apart or invest it in something else. They want them to completely destroy all of their nuclear making refineries. And if you're a country that wants to have nuclear power for whatever reason besides just having weapons, well, that's a huge investment. They've had, you know, probably China and Russia come out there helping build these things. Iran is not a country of stupid people. So this is a big part of their infrastructure. And to ask them to tear that down on behalf of Israel is kind of asinine, because that's like if someone, think of Iran coming to us and saying, listen, we want you to tear down all of your nuclear plutonium refineries because Russia and China are afraid of you. Well, good. That means they won't strike us because they have nuclear capable warheads. This is to the point that Israel and Iran are making. Israel does have nukes. Iran, to the knowledge that we have, does not have nukes. So Iran says Israel keeps picking on us. Trump keeps picking on us. We see why no one does anything to even move against North Korea, because one nuclear weapon can change the battlefield depending on how it's used. So if we build nuclear weapons, then no one else will mess with us either. Now, I'm not pro Iran, but I'm pro peace to the extent of sanity. In trying to invade another country, especially like Iran, that's extraordinarily mountainous and most of their stuff is underground, to the extent of what Israel was saying, that our bombs can't even reach it. We would have to hit it so much that we would end up depleting our ordnances. So with all that said and done, Iran and Israel have attacked each other over the years. Recently, last year, Iran launched, what, like 300 rockets or whatever. It was a huge missile barrage. And so, you know, this goes back and forth. Netanyahu is always coming out with a new red line and a new picture saying, if Iran gets to this, we're dead. And Iran has said twice that they want to kill the great Satan and the little Satan. They want to destroy it. And has also said that they have no intention of making nuclear weapons. Believe them with as much as you want. I'm not in it for anybody over there. I don't want any Americans over there. I've already done my time. I think that war is just, it's unwinnable. You can't fight this anymore. So with that being said, we have allies, quote, allies, who don't really like us in the Middle East, but they need us. They need our support and our protection. Saudi Arabia is one. Saudi Arabia is not our friend. They don't like us. Our military can tell you, anyone who's been over there from the Air Force, they are not friendly to us. And so it's no surprise what we're about to read, except for the fact that Sunni and Shia have always been kind of like at each other within the past relatively normal position in the Middle East, at least, you know, since the last 100 years, they've kind of been at each other's throats. So we're the better, we're the true followers, we're the actual descendants of Muhammad, whatever. Now we have this, and it's the Saudi Minister of Defense. So he is Prince Khalid bin Salman. He's the son of the king of Saudi Arabia. He made an unannounced visit to the Supreme Leader Ayatollah Khomeini in the capital of Tehran. The minister, who is the brother of the Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman and the son of the king, presented an official written message from King Salman of Saudi Arabia to Iran's supreme leader. In response to this letter, Ayatollah Khomeini stated, quote, "It is far better for brothers in the region to cooperate and help one another than to rely on outside powers. We must overcome the hostile forces trying to divide our nations." So this is some of the new revelations that we're getting out of this. Iran is willing to assist Saudi Arabia in establishing its own civilian nuclear program. These intel sources that are coming out with this are saying that this comes shortly after the reports that happened, what, just last week, that the United States and Saudi Arabia will soon be making a deal for a civilian nuclear program that the United States will assist in helping to construct and all that in Saudi Arabia. So Iran may be offering Saudi Arabia a different alternative instead of the United States, because with the U.S. comes a lot of strings attached. And what was it, Henry Kissinger? He said, it's deadly to be a friend to the United States. Some quote like that, which is very true. I mean, look what we did to Gaddafi. So it's, this is already kind of, to me, it's setting up a future fight against Israel that goes right back to what the Bible is warning about. But let's continue. So this is from the Saudi Minister of Defense now. Quote, engagement and cooperation with the Islamic Republic of Iran is the cornerstone of regional security, which will lead to greater prosperity for the countries in our region. The Islamic world must act in a coordinated and unified manner against the occupation and expansionism practiced by the leaders of the Zionist entity. So they're talking about Israel. Yeah. I came to Tehran today to present His Excellency, the great Supreme Leader, with our intentions to strengthen Iran, Saudi ties at all levels, and to form a partnership deeper and stronger than ever before. So the Minister of Defense for Saudi Arabia expressed great satisfaction with their meeting, stating that Saudi Arabia is ready to strengthen ties with the Islamic Republic of Iran in all fields. So that is a backdrop for what just recently happened with, let's see, Russia. So on Monday, Moscow formalized a defense and economic cooperation agreement with Tehran, codifying the alliance between the two nations. The Treaty on the Comprehensive Strategic Partnership between the Islamic Republic of Iran and the Russian Federation will include provisions for the fields of defense, counterterrorism, energy, finance, transport, industry, agriculture, culture, science, and technology. Along with that, and there has been a lot of movement and agreement between two militaries of these countries, Iran and now Azerbaijan, who are kind of like frenemies. They're more or less Persians who live northern in the mountains. But these two countries not always seen eye to eye. Well, now they're starting to have mutual agreements and military co-opted training together. And Azerbaijan at the same time is doing that also with Russia. So Azerbaijan is the country that separates Russia from Iran, and it's a place where the United States has been trying to get their claws into, especially with Donald Trump trying to get another pipeline into the Caspian Sea and so forth. It's a very oil-rich country. It has a lot of ports that, you know, the United States would like to use. And I think with this is what we see is a new kind of alliance that's building up in the Middle East that is more or less turning against the United States. You have the aggression from Turkey coming into Syria and helping to solidify the new Al-Qaeda, ISIS-led terrorism government. You have the Egyptians who are not agreeing to help anybody anymore, especially Israel. Jordan is kind of on standby. Libya is kind of on standby. Not a lot of talks from them. Ethiopia is in the middle of a civil war, but they always line up with every other Muslim nation.
Yeah.
And so then you also have Yemen, and we're over there bombing the living crap out of Yemen. And now America is actually in Sudan and a couple other different countries, and they're pulling out of there because there is now many civil wars that are happening throughout Africa. I think there's 8 of them right now. And along with that, is United States troops are actually there helping with some of these other countries with repelling Yemeni's Houthi fighters. Let me see. This is now coming from the like Channel 12 news of Israel. The Israeli Air Force is holding a massive drill in preparation for a possible attack on Iran and a counterattack that may follow, reporting Israeli Broadcasting Authority from the KANN News. Quote, if U.S.-Iran talks fail, we'll have to address the threats Iran poses. Israel is now preparing for a possible strike on Iran, with Tel Aviv bracing for a response from Tehran. That's Israeli Channel 11 news. The Israeli Air Force has trained today for the possibility of Israeli military bases being attacked. subjected to potential Iranian attack. That's Israeli Broadcasting Authority. So, I mean, it's all over Israel right now. U.S. Central Command Commander Michael Kurilla will travel to Israel in the next 2 days to meet with Netanyahu and his counterparts. Trump said that it's still on the table for military intervention if they can't strike some sort of a deal. There's meetings that are going on with the Iranian representatives, with American representatives, and Oman is kind of being the referee for this. And I think that's happened in Paris and other venue. But at the same time, then Tehran sends other people to go and meet with Saudi Arabia. They're meeting with Russia. You know that they're talking to China pretty much every day. So we have this BRICS nation alliance that is really starting to ratchet down. And just another compounding factor that happened today, I think it was today, is the China state-backed funds, including China Investment Corporation, are halting new investments for United States PE firms under government pressure. So Chinese capital is now avoiding the United States-linked deals altogether, even if managed by foreign firms. So this comes 24 hours after Beijing warned of retaliation against countries aligned with the United States' interests. The message is clear that China is moving to financially isolate the United States. The U.S. trade war just got escalated again. And this all started with the whole tariff thing, but I think this is just really something that's just been building and building and building. And for whatever reason, Trump is the dude who's going to, I guess, pull the trigger on this. So I've got a lot of other stuff, but I'll save that for next time. So what do you think of this lovely news?
I got a couple of reactions. First of all, I'd say this to Saudi Arabia. Are you out of your flipping minds? What can you bring militarily to the surface here to help Iran? Nothing. You can maybe cause some oil depletion to the West, somewhat to the US, but not that much because we're going energy independent. So you don't have a long-term solution there with your oil. They have nothing. They have nothing they bring into this. I can't imagine why they're doing this. And I don't see other nations joining them. For example, I don't see Jordan joining them. Because of Iraq's status, I don't see them joining them. If there was a country going to join them, it would be Iraq. Afghanistan won't. Not now. Doug, what could they possibly be gaining for military defense?
Well, I mean, right now, the only thing we have are air assets that are located there. To the best of my knowledge, I'm not current military anymore. We have decently large air bases there, and also one that we've reopened at Bagram. I mean, if that's all we've got in these countries, well, we don't have a lot either then. So what can they amass? Well, immediately, until we're energy independent, which we're not. We have a lot of refineries to open back up that have to be maintenanced. You got a pipeline that still has to be completely redone, cleared out. You got to hire all these contractors, do all those negotiations. The inspectors are going to probably take 6 months to a year to reinspect every weld and everything that's pressure related, make sure everything's working. I mean, there's a lot to work to do before the Keystone Pipeline can be reopened. So what Saudi Arabia can do is they can cut us off right now, and that can immediately turn that wealth straight to China. And with China and Russia getting that wealth, the only thing we can do from there is create some sort of a embargo or blockade. And now you're talking about real dangerous waters, because what can Saudi Arabia do? They can fund all the terrorists as well.
Yeah, you can
That's
bomb their
what
oil
they can do.
fields. You can bomb their oil fields into the Stone Age too.
Well, yeah, and they can activate their terrorists here and take down the grid,
I
of
know.
which Iran said they do. We're at a Mexican standoff, okay? we got guns pointed at each other. We're just waiting to see if we can negotiate before we just figure out we just got to start pulling the trigger and hope my aim's better than yours.
Yeah, well, the United States is getting stretched dangerously thin. And I think that's what Saudi Arabia is counting on because I don't think they have much they can bring to the table. Oil is a temporary solution. We could ratchet up our oil quickly if we put enough resources into it. I don't think that's a long-term solution for Saudi Arabia. I really don't. I hear what you're saying. In the short term, we'd have gas lines. I agree with that.
Yeah, I mean you will damage the dollar, which is already being damaged. I mean, you know that it's being damaged because gold's going through the roof. Gold is probably within a month or two of reaching 4,000 an ounce, and then it ain't stopping. It's going to continue to climb and climb and climb, and gun will be unobtainium. And we're going to get forced into a digital currency. That is the future. We will be forced into a digital currency. Elon Musk is all about it. Donald Trump is all about it. If we go in energy independent and nobody buys our energy, what do we do then? Right? We go into a war front. That's exactly what happens. The recession starts. We have an industry that we can build, but now we have to make sure people buy it. All these little bitty countries that we, finagle with, a lot of them are Muslim. A ton of them are Muslim. And those people will all align with each other. Very few will buck the system. I mean, where are their allegiances? I mean, for the Muslim countries, it starts with being Muslim first. Unlike most of the Western countries where it's like DEI and trans whatever first. The West has lost its mind. We have lost our foothold. And now Donald Trump is either going to gain ground or maintain it while it is being lost. Our allies are weak. Europe does not have a standing army that can defend itself against Russia or any of its allies. China is overgrown and is honestly, I don't care what's happening to their economy because all they need is Iran, Oman, Qatar. Saudi Arabia to start funneling them money and they'll be fine. They'll be completely fine. There's nothing that New Zealand and Australia can do right now. Both their governments have turned communist. For the most part, I would consider them compromised. I would consider London compromised.
Oh, big time. Big time. Look, rather than go through the list of the United Nations, the only nation that stands with us right now, possibly Panama, El Salvador, and Israel.
Maybe we can recruit all the MS-13 gang members and we can send them to fight. That'd be funny.
Oh, brother. I got to tell you. We're headed, I keep saying it, we're headed for a Tet Offensive here with terrorism in our country. And I do agree the grid will be the casualty. I also think open air events, shopping malls, schools, and it'll all happen on the same day. That's.
Well, with all the escalation happening, I haven't really seen de-escalation. Now, I'm not in the White House. I'm not in the press briefings. I'm not in the closed cabinet meetings. This is just me from the outside looking in with my stupid opinions, is I'm not seeing much de-escalation. If anything, we're escalating a fight that shouldn't be there with our European allies who we need them to buy our stuff, and we need them to hold off the Eastern Front. We're making enemies everywhere right now. And I understand the strong arm tactic, but guess what, man? Sometimes that stuff don't work. This is if Donald Trump is the aggressive supreme leader of America, you do not have that in Europe. You have progressive DEI, communist, weak, limp-wristed leaders for the most part who are against their own people. I don't know how else to say that. And then you've got the Slavic bloc that are kind of just trying to form their own little thing because they see that the Western countries are losing their minds. So you've got Poland and maybe a few others who are like, listen, we're sitting ducks, but we're at least able to fight. Somebody come over here and cooperate with us. Somebody come over here and help us. And that somebody is the United States. If we lose the Scandinavian countries and they start to become frenemies, which to an extent, they kind of are right now because of what we're doing with Denmark and Greenland. I don't know, man. Like, eventually, we're going to cut everybody off. We've pissed off China. We've pissed off Canada. I hate to say it, but for the Australian government, it's just kind of not even really a thing right now for us to worry about.
They're too
Though
busy trying to contain their people.
they are. Yes, they are. You have a lot of political backlash going on amongst the people. And I look at Macron over in France is losing his mind. He says that the European dollar will soon replace the US dollar.
That ain't going to happen. They're in worse shape than we are.
But this is the mindset of the leaders, though. France says they can win a war against Russia. France's last war that they fought and won was against themselves. And I just don't know what that socialist democracy is trying to do, but you're destroying yourself. Germany, you got no hope. Your people are rebelling against you. Currently, right now, there is active attacks upon the prison system and law enforcement officers in their homes that's happening across France. I was just reading a report where one dude's home was firebombed by like a dozen people, and then they were shooting at it with automatic weapons. So you have a domestic terror event that is rising throughout France. It'll probably soon be in Germany. It'll probably soon be in Italy and Spain and so on and so forth. And the UK will feel that as well. And when that domestic uprising starts to happen, they're going to be too busy dealing with their own people who are disarmed. They are disenfranchised of their own government. And honestly, I mean, like, their government has beat them down so bad, a spark will probably cause the civil war. So while we're trying to fight, the rest of the world, our allies are busy trying to just maintain themselves above water. And that's what we've kind of been predicting will happen on this platform for quite a while. Eventually, America is going to be the only thing that comes to Israel's aid. And since we've decided to make the world our enemy, the world will respond. And we're the only top dogs out there with the aircraft carriers and the capability of our equipment. So while we're selling it to all of our allies so quickly, hoping that when in doubt, you will use them to help defend us and our assets. But if they don't and they decide not to fight, what do we do then?
That's going to be it right there. Well, I'll tell you what it is. It's called 74 submarines with nuclear weapons.
Well, the Ohio class is a considered a continent destroying weapon.
Right.
All right. But the moment you launch nukes, they launch nukes. And then who wins? The submariners? They've got families. They know for a fact the moment we launch something, there's going to be a rain of missiles right back down on top of their families. So you're going to have people who are going to question orders. Is this really what we need to be doing? Are there madmen in
Doug,
charge right now?
I know for a fact they've already dealt with that contingency and training, but that doesn't mean that you're not correct.
Yeah,
Because when the rubber meets the road, they may hit the chicken switch.
the problem will always be the human element. It will always be the human element. I don't care how much people say follow orders. Look what happened with Germany and China and Russia with just following orders. All right. Didn't go over so well. Imagine we're the ones who starting the nuclear apocalypse because, well, we just couldn't get our tariffs done. That's
There's a wild card though, Doug. It's called space-based
alien.
weapons. Space-based weapons.
I thought you were going to say aliens. I was hoping for that.
No, the fallen angels aren't coming into play. I'll say that, and then I'm going to address what you just said about aliens, and I know you're being a little bit flippant there, but I'm going to take that and make that chicken, you know what, into chicken, into chicken soup. But anyway. We have space-based weapons. We had one demonstration under Obama with the rods from God, where we took it out on China because we didn't like some of the trade things they were doing. And Obama was pissed and we let him have it. But we have a lot more than the rods from God. We have a lot more. And, the old King of the Hill comes into play. He who occupies the high ground usually wins. And this is something that we occupy the high ground. China's trying to play catch up in space, but it ain't going well from what I understand. Doug,
No, their assets are more used for destroying other satellites right
that's
now.
right. They have the
That's,
killer satellites, but
yeah.
we have anti-killer satellites. Listen, I've got my contacts there in the Space Force. And I'm telling you, they are unchecked right now. And I think the reason Russia is hesitating and China is hesitating, because they know what we can do.
Yeah,
They know.
I don't deny our capabilities. What I question is motive and intent and follow through. And it always comes back to that. I mean, we're right now, you and I are narrating a doomsday story, right? Here we are. It's 1 second to midnight. Do we launch? Do we not? How we've talked about this so many times. In the event of a civil war, what will the military do? Right now, there was just a Navy commander who was fired because she refused to hang up Donald Trump's picture.
I saw that.
Regardless of what you think about that, the fact that you still have people in high positions of power who are being removed because of loyalty, well, what about the underlings underneath them? There's more of them than there are people that are in the command structure. So what I mean is, the day we decide to go nuclear on somebody, how do you know that there won't be from the second lieutenant position up of people saying, nope, we're standing down, we're not doing it? How do you know you won't have a staff sergeant sitting over his platoon and his lieutenant comes up and says, well, today's the day, gents, we're gonna take some guns out of the armory and we're gonna round up everyone outside of the gate and we're gonna kill them because the boss said so. No, sir, we're gonna detain you. We're not doing that. I know that Americans don't think outside the box like that because we think, well, this is America. We would never do that. On contrary, I would just go back to what happened 2016, follow through 2020, look at what happened with Biden's administration. America is on the doorstep of depravity. We are so close to it that only the restrainer of a loving God keeps us all together right now. The day the restrainer is removed, everything that was on the table will be used. Everything. And no one can stop it once it starts.
Well, the Bible says very clearly, if Jesus didn't return for the second time, there'd be no flesh left alive.
That's why a man returns, well, returns, appears out of nowhere when calamity is happening, World War III, it looks like everyone is going to die. And one man shows up and says, stop it all. And finds a way to make peace amongst many nations. And we know who he is. He's the Antichrist. I think that's how close we are,
I
right? I'm
was
not
going to
going to say.
say Jimmy Carter resurrected, but yeah, the man who makes peace. We're setting up for it. I want to read. We're headed for a great deception too, and I've become convinced of this here. And I want to pull something up here, and I'm just going to read to you a litany of what they're saying. Okay, I get these pop-ups here from MSN, and I don't know how to get rid of them. They're filled with political nonsense and propaganda against Trump. I mean, if Trump farts the wrong way, they've got to make a major story out of it. But they're doing something here with quantum physics, aliens, Mars. It's amazing here. This is just random. I haven't even previewed this, but it doesn't matter what time I pull this up and when it pops up here. Okay, here, let me just go through the opening banner here. Largest carbon molecules found on Mars build the case for ancient life. Asteroid 2024 impact record hits record high. Okay, so they're trying to scare us. Astronomers left disappointed as green comet meets fiery end before it can be seen. Came from a constellation where we suspect there is life. This is just amazing. Okay, so let's go down here. Let's just Robots will take over Mars. The Mars rover reveals a watery and possibly life-supporting past. Here we go, Doug. There are holes on Mars And these holes may be the portal to an ancient civilization that could still be in existence. The James Webb Telescope detects molecule in Orion Nebula view, indicating possible life. Then they're trying to scare us. What if the magnetosphere disappeared? Okay, scientists find strongest evidence yet of life on an alien planet. You get the idea. I could keep going, but you get the idea, right? A disproportionate amount of stories every hour on the day, no matter when this thing comes up. Because when I log on here, it's there. I'll click it off. It'll come back in 10 minutes. But Doug, here's where they're going with this. It's Project Bluebeam. They're desensitizing on a mass scale the existence of aliens, this advanced science. And aliens are going to come here, and we got to unify the planet under a new world order so we can fight against them. I think it'll be conducted by AI and fallen angels. That's my guess. And the
Ronald
fallen
Reagan's old
angels will
quote.
pretend to be aliens. But Doug, I see this every day. What I just read to you is a daily occurrence on MSN. MSN, they used to say if you saw a UFO, it's either swamp gas or you need to be in a mental institution. And now they're promoting all this stuff. I didn't see any stories here on this, but it's typical. Every day you see stories where UFOs are real. They'll quote a Pentagon official saying, "We're not alone," blah, blah, blah. I mean, it's the same old crap.
It's amazing that Operation Blue Book, Project Blue Book, was about how to contain the knowledge of UFOs and alien contact and how to make people not believe it. And now the new operation is how to make people believe it even more. Like this is what's going to happen one day, okay? We're gonna find the Space Force will have its Space Marines, and we're gonna be deployed to, Zeta Reticuli. And it'll take 12,000 years to get there. And by the time we get there and we show up looking for alien life, we're going to find a tadpole somewhere, that James Webb's telescope saw. And that's going to be it. And we're like, oh, great. Well, for America, bang, we've conquered the land. And that's to my extent, that's what I think is really out there.
We'll
I
go
could be
through
wrong,
a
but.
portal. It won't take 12,000 years. It'll take 12 seconds.
Well, that's the thing, though. People negate this. Okay. For one thing, witchcraft and sorcery is real. If you believe the Bible, then you know it's real and you know what the demons and the false teachers, preachers, and the fallen angels can do. Okay. They can do lies and lying wonders. They can do things that everyone will say, that's a man of God. Fire shouldn't fall from the sky. All right. We don't know to the extent, but it will be false miracles that people will say, no, that's a miracle. You just don't have faith. So that's what is coming. And
False
back
Christ.
behind
Don't
that,
forget false Christ too.
oh yeah, he's coming. He is coming. And back behind that is a whole world's military to make you believe, bow down, and worship the beast, lest you don't take that mark.
You ever see the TV show on USA called Colony?
Yes.
And you had this And I got to tell you, I never bought into the storyline because I thought if the show would have continued, it would have ended a different way. But they had this alien invasion, just for the audience edification, and they would put humans, and it was like a DHS operation, and they'd put humans in charge of humans, and if a city wasn't able to control its own, the aliens would exterminate the city. But you know what I thought? I thought we were the aliens in that true show. And it was a way basically to get the planet under control. That was my takeoff scenario from what I watched. But the bottom line is these evil aliens came and there was a religious connotation to it. They talked about the coming of more alien craft and so forth to near Earth atmosphere. And they were hailing it like a religious day. And you know, I started thinking, I go, uh-oh, here we go. Antichrist and all this. And that was on the show Colony. And by the way, they were ahead of their time. This was over 10 years ago. And they had AI robots enforcing curfew because the people were under constant martial law. It was incredible the technology they displayed in
Well,
this.
let's talk about that mind wipe that will eventually happen, where people will just be brainwashed to believe everything that they see, because they'll say, well, nothing in the sky can be that big. It's got to be real. If it all is fake, if there are no real aliens coming to visit us, which I'm a Christian, so I align with the biblical view every time. I believe it's the Antichrist and the fallen angels,
I
right?
agree. I agree.
Listen to this coming out of Japan. Japanese scientists achieve a breakthrough, wait for it, in lab-grown meat. Now, mimicking real meat's texture and structure, the milestone could allegedly lead to sustainable steaks, fish, and more. Yummy. That's what they'll be serving to you at Hillary Clinton's adult fun camp. Fake
You
lab-grown
mean the
meat.
15-minute city that we end up in because digital currency will control us through social credit?
I mean, shut up, eat your bug cereal, take your fake meat slop, and move on, and don't ask questions. That's what I mean. I mean, isn't that what the world leaders want? Isn't that what Klaus Schwab, who just interestingly stepped down from the WFO, isn't that what, or WEF, WWF, whichever wrestling ring he was in, isn't that what they all want though? What they want is maximum control of the human. I mean, that's as satanic as you can get with these people. They want maximum control. They want to kill us all. They think we're cattle. And they want you to be afraid in a state of peril at all times. So don't worry, the Lord warned you, perilous times are coming.
You think there's a rapture?
No. No, I
A lot
don't.
of people do. I think it's wishful thinking.
No, I once again, I just believe what the Bible says. And I know people try to take the Bible and they try to twist it to talk about a rapture. I think it's in 2 Thessalonians. I don't have everything pulled up in front of me right now, so don't quote me. But we will be caught up with the Lord. Okay. We'll be caught up in the clouds. We're going to be watching what Jesus is doing. And then we come back down, because once you come out of the tribulation, those tribulation saints are the ones who reign with Christ for 1,000 years. All you got to do is just read the Bible. It says it.
And what happens after 1,000 years?
For me, it doesn't matter anymore. But after the end of that 1,000 years, the way you keep reading into Revelation, Satan is released for a final time, and he is finally destroyed and thrown into the lake of fire. And then that's it. It's done. We're with
Is
Christ.
it over for us after 1,000 years?
No, I don't know what happens next, but I know we're with Christ. That's where we all want to be, and that's where we should keep our hearts and minds focused on. I've heard people say, well, the universe is vast and God is going to use us to go on a conquest amongst the stars. I'm like, whatever you got to tell yourself, I'm just telling you to read the Bible and have faith. Believe his word is true. He is trustworthy and true. Christ will come back and all this will be put to the right. It'll all be set right. Don't lose faith. Even if you got
Well,
to eat the
I
bugs.
think that's good advice. Some people think that you have to fight the enemy where you find them, which is in the gutter in this case. I agree. It's a spiritual war. It's a physical war. There's no question about it. And ladies and gentlemen, we are at the cusp. I want to cover another thing before we call it a night. I've been doing some talking to military types, and the assumption that Trump is going to cross the border and attack Mexico, I no longer think it's a viable option. It was broken down for me like this. First of all, you'd create a massive fifth column force in this country because of all the cartel that's in our country. And even some people who've emigrated here from Mexico who aren't causing problems in society like murder, rape, mayhem, and so forth, they could be fiercely loyal to Mexico and take up the Mexican cause behind the scenes.
Yes.
And they could be recruited. The other
Yes.
thing I was told was we get into the Sierra Madres in a war. It's like fighting in Afghanistan. And they said it would be very, very difficult terrain. Casualty rates would be high. And we could expend our bombing ordnance, because we'd have to root these people out of caves and so forth, like Afghanistan.
Well, it's not like fighting the Iraqis. Like, When you and I were talking about this a while ago, Mexico will always attach itself to South America. And those two countries will always find a way to attach themselves to Russia. So if Mexico wanted to bring forth all fighting forces, which includes all of the cartels combining together to thwart an invading enemy, to include the Mexican Federales, the Mexican Marines, so on and so forth, you have a fighting force of roughly about 500,000 people. Add in Honduras, Guatemala, El Salvador, Panama, and then keep going down all the way to the very bottom of South America. You have now an estimate of just when you just research their military numbers as they state, you have now a fighting force reaching between 4.5 to 5 million people. Not, and that's not having more assets brought to the fight. That is unobtainable. We can't do it. So if you tried to invade into Mexico to destroy the cartel, it would have to be done in a policing action, which means at first you got to get in there. Okay. And so now you're going to invade a sovereign country, most likely without their permission. So you're going to have a lot of problems with just that. And that's going to cause even more distractions and disenfranchisement upon American citizens who don't want that. You have people that are Mexican American who don't want that, who will go and align there. Not everybody, but you will have a strong pull to go down there. And it's going to cause a lot more problems. So, do I think that the cartel needs to be neutralized? Absolutely. Do I think it is a huge issue to do it? Absolutely. I don't think anyone knows the proper way to do it,
Well,
but eventually we got to do something.
this is the way it's explained to me. Mexico could be on the verge of becoming an economic superpower because of all their resources, and we need to manage their entry into that and share in the profit. That's a motive, I think, what Trump is looking at long term. And also, you don't want to go to war with people that you want to trade with. But what you can do is you can economically starve Mexico. You can isolate them. And you can even claim this or that or the other and blockade their coastline to keep China out. This is what I'm told is probably coming, is an economic stranglehold until Mexico screams uncle and we'll go, okay, we'll work with you. Now, clean up your crap if you want the blockade to come off.
Yeah, that'll never happen. The cartels will never be cleaned up. Cartels are the Mexican government.
I'd agree it's like a Venn diagram. I agree there's a huge overlap. I don't think it's one to one. Doug, I had dealings, and I'm not going to get into the case here, but I had dealings with a high-ranking justice official in Mexico back in, gosh, about 2010. This guy was honorable and a good man. In fact, he had to disperse his children in the United States and China because he was afraid of the cartel getting back at him because he was so good at his job. He sent them with assumed identities out. And I had occasion to have to interact with him. This guy was one of the good guys. They're not all that way in Mexico. But I will say this, Sheinbaum is a cartel girl. She's, the Jalisco new generation. That's who she is. And she's probably big time payroll, just like Nieto. So there's going to have to be a regime change.
Yeah, but every regime change, unless we go and plant a new base in Mexico City, is still ran by the cartel every single time. So it is a problem within a problem. And the cartels are so big and so powerful, they might as well be the economic structure and reinforcer and protector and provider of Mexico. I know Mexico has resources, but just as quickly as they have resources, they have manpower and ruthless tactics to scare anyone into submission. And you talked about blockading Mexico. Dude, we're talking about another growing reason for why they would reach out to Russia and China, and Russia and China would come to either side of the shore to help free one of their BRICS nations' allies. I mean, it all keeps
You're
leading to
right.
the
Yeah, you
same.
could be right on
Yep.
that. I
It all
don't
keeps leading to
doubt
the
that.
same thing.
I'm almost thinking there's going to be a false flag to give us an excuse for a minor incursion to take out as much cartel as we can. The cartel is actually firing on our soldiers at the border. I'm sure you've heard that.
Well, there doesn't need to be a false flag. There's red flags everywhere on it.
Yeah.
I mean, we in Doug's unprofessional opinion, nobody take me seriously. But if I were president for a day, I would push my troops into probably 5 to 10 miles, honestly, 5 to 10 miles into Mexico, and I would bulldoze everything. And I would displace everyone who lives there. And everyone's going to hate me for saying that. But do we protect our civilians against a population that refuses to protect its own, that's overruled and overrun by cartel? What do you do? If you won't protect yourselves, we've got to protect our people. And if I make a 5 mile clear line, a DMZ, I know for a fact who will come through and who will not. And you'll have to have permissions to come through. And if anyone tries to build a 5 mile tunnel, we'll be able to see it. All right. A 200 yard tunnel, a 2 to 3 mile tunnel, it's hard to see because it's all underneath deep populated centers.
Yeah.
5 miles. No, we'll see you and we'll send a Hellfire missile after you. That's why, and I've done the whole pre-gaming in my head. Doesn't mean I'm right. It just means I'm insane. I think about this too much. You give two portals of entry per state. So Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, California. Honestly, California should just have one because of the border size, but two portals of entry, outbound and inbound. And it's going to suck. It's going to take forever. And every single person will be searched. Dogs will be ran through. Your car will go right through one of our mobile x-rays, just like all the 18-wheelers are supposed to. And that's just the way it's going to be done because we can't trust you. You won't do what you're supposed to. You're causing our people to die. You're sneaking in terrorists. And by that, I mean you. The Mexican government, because you won't do anything about the cartels. Ergo, you're also the problem. So I don't know how else to do that, but we got to be men here and professional. If you're not going to protect my children from getting hurt, I will do it for you and I'll get rid of the problem for you and consequences be damned. But at the same time, you do that, you cause so many problems. A backlash of problems that you better be ready for before you even announce it. And currently in this government, they have a little bit of a problem of keeping secret things under wraps. Did you hear about the White House? Entire interior design was leaked by a GSA employee. The entire interior design, every protective measure was leaked. I know what that is. That's called a facilities security assessment. My old agency used to do it. My old agency does it for the White House. So, along with the Secret Service. And
What was the consequence for this betrayal?
I don't know yet, but you will find yourself in a dark, deep hole, most likely, while
Yeah,
you're being
agreed.
interrogated. So,
Doug, we're just about out of time here. Real quickly, tell people how to follow you.
American Vindictus Show, we're on YouTube, occasionally on Rumble. Then you can find us also on Patreon. Vindictus Solutions right here behind me. If you would like to come and get some of our really awesome training and hang out, have fun, have fellowship time, please look at Vindictus Solutions. Consider taking our training. We're only here to make you better and more prepared, more confident in your skills, make you an asset, not a liability. Dave, you're next.
CommonSenseShow.com. Sign up for our newsletter. It's a recapitulation of everything we do in the past 24 hours. Click on the newsletter link at the website, put in your email address, and you'll get it delivered to your email box once a day, every day, ad infinitum, until the New World Order stops it. Okay, so we got a TV show, the CommonSenseShow.tv, our HIP series, where we look at things like life on Mars and explore that. What's the truth about the pyramids and is time travel possible? And then we have our geopolitics and our interviews like this. So sign up, thecommonsenseshow.tv. We will see you back here again next time for Doug Thornton of the American Vindictus Show. I'm Dave Hodges of the Common Sense Show. And this has been the Doug and Dave Intel Report. We'll see you back here again next time.